Pleasant good morning to you. It's always a pleasure to be with the saints. We're happy if you're visiting with us and hope that you will open your Bibles with us. We're going to begin this morning in Exodus chapter 4 in just a few moments, if you'd like to turn there. We're glad that you're here. God has given us His written word so that we might learn. We learn how to please God, how to be saved. We learn what sin is and how to overcome temptation. The Bible is full of examples for us. I think this is intended by God. I know it is. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7 has Paul speaking of the apostles saying, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example." Well, we need to read and study about the apostles and follow that example. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience." And that is, in that context, an example of Israel who refused to go in and conquer the land of Canaan when God had told them to do so. Instead, they believed this report of the unfaithful spies. There's a bad example that we're supposed to learn from. Sometimes we see good and bad examples in the same person. Jonah was a prophet who refused to tell the message of God to Nineveh. A bad example. He then repents and does God's will. A good example. David was a man who trusted in God and who loved God. A good example to us. He also had Uriah the Hittite killed in battle to hide his sin from the people. A terrible example. When confronted by Nathan the prophet, he repented and served God. A great example for us. Peter left everything to follow Jesus and serve as the apostle. Wonderful example. He then denied Christ three times. Terrible example. What God shows us is that they were real people. They struggled with things, like all of us do. I want us to consider for the lesson today some lessons from Aaron. His name is found 337 times in the Bible. He is often overlooked by the dominant presence of his brother Moses, a person whom we would do well to study from. But we can't just ignore all that is recorded about Aaron. God has seen fit to include things about him for our benefit, I believe, as an example to us. In Exodus chapter 4, read with me beginning in verse 14. It says, "And the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, 'Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him.'" God was angry at Moses, who made excuses for why he could not speak before Pharaoh, saying he wasn't a good spokesperson, wasn't good with his words. God removed all those concerns by appointing Aaron. Notice, Aaron didn't ask for this. Aaron was not seeking such a position. It was thrust upon him by God. He would be the assistant to Moses, his younger brother, who would be as God to him, which speaks of the authority God placed in Moses. We never see Aaron complain about this task. And he is a strong presence for much of the early history of the Israelites. A little later in this chapter, in verse 27, Scripture says, "The Lord said to Aaron, 'Go meet Moses in the wilderness.' So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel." Here we learn that God provided proof to Aaron by speaking to him. But he let Moses explain everything. Based on that, Aaron's willing to serve God in a very strong and dangerous position. In Exodus chapter 7 and in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land." So we remember from our studies as children, most likely, how Moses went before Pharaoh over and over and over. But we don't always remember Aaron was the one doing all the talking. Exodus 7 and verse 7 tells us Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. These were old men. The reason Aaron came out and kissed Moses was because he hadn't seen him since Moses left town. Remember, he fled after having killed one of the Egyptian guards. And he had a whole other life apart from Egypt. Aaron stayed in Egypt. He was a slave who did not flee captivity when Moses left. But when God called him, he now became the willing runaway slave to go meet Aaron in the wilderness. There's something to be thought of about that. He answered that call of God. Aaron performed miraculous signs. His rod turned into a serpent and swallowed the sorcerer's rods, Exodus 7 and verse 10. Aaron saw many things about the power of God during this initial phase of his service to God. In Exodus 7 and verse 19, the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, over the streams, and over their pools, and over all their reservoirs of water, that they may become blood.'" Moses didn't do that. Aaron did that. Exodus 8, verse 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams and the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.'" Exodus 8, verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats throughout all the land of Egypt.'" It should not escape our notice that at the end of the ninth plague, in Exodus 11 and in verse 10, it says, "Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. Yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land." Can you imagine, for the rest of your life, carrying the stick that God did all these memorable miracles through? How you could never forget what God did with my staff. That was Aaron. After the 10th plague began, which was the last plague, in Exodus 12 and verse 30, Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night. and said, rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go and worship the Lord as you have said. Aaron was included in Pharaoh's call. He was a big part as a servant of God. Aaron was not seeking this. God appointed him to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 28, it records an early time in the church saying God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. People weren't looking for those gifts. They may have wanted a gift, but they didn't know if they was going to get one. God appointed it. Acts 19 and verse 6, Paul laid his hands upon them and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. In Acts 8 and verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was being bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money that he might be able to do that as well. The Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands. But people didn't know if a gift would be given or what that gift might be. The apostles didn't make that choice. God was doing that through the Spirit. God appointed people to these tasks in the early church, much like God appointed Aaron. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that God does not appoint people like this today. Miraculous gifts are not happening today. This chapter tells us they will cease and be done away with when the perfect comes, meaning the fully revealed written word, which has occurred at the end of the first century. Today, God does not speak to an individual as he did with Moses and Aaron, but he does put a task on us like he did Moses and Aaron, tasks that are written throughout the New Testament for us. He now speaks to us through his written word. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12 says, God calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2 says, we're saints by calling. God has called all men to be saved. Now here's the point. Do we respond to God's call like Aaron did? He was fully committed, obedient to what God said, no matter hard. And he did that at age 83. I once knew a man who obeyed the gospel, though had not obeyed the gospel, but his wife had been faithful since before they got married. And at age 88, he obeyed the gospel. And he was fully committed and obedient until his death. His name was Donald Hale. We're never too old to be obedient to the call of God. We need to learn that from Aaron. God appointed Aaron to be the high priest. If you're still open to Exodus, look at chapter 28 with me for a moment. Exodus 28 and verse 1. God tells Moses, bring near to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's son. Again, I would have you notice, Aaron didn't ask for this. Aaron wasn't seeking this. God appointed him. Aaron had been Moses' voice to everyone else. And now he's going to be everyone's voice to God in the nation of Israel. Hebrews chapter 5 mentions Aaron. I'm going to read the first four verses in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5 and in verse 1 says, every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sin, as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. God called him to do this. He wasn't looking for it. He offered gifts and sacrifices for sin unto God on behalf of others as well as himself. This was a momentous task, a task given to him by God. Numbers chapter 16 records a terrible day when men of Israel, many of them, rose up in rebellion against Moses and Aaron. God struck them all dead and sent a plague upon the nation. In this text, Aaron shows himself to be the mediator between the people and God. Numbers 16, and in verse 46, Numbers 16 and verse 46, Scripture says, Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put in fire from the altar and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone forth from the Lord. The plague has begun. Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken and ran into the midst of the assembly. For behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. He took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked. But those who died by the plague were 14,700, beside those who died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been checked. We can also see in Scripture that God gave Aaron and his sons a gift. It's recorded in Numbers chapter 18 and in verse 6. He says, behold, I myself have taken your fellow Levites from among the sons of Israel. They are a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord, to perform the service for the tent of meeting. But you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything concerning the altar and inside the veil, and you are to perform service. I am giving you the priesthood as a bestowed service. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. I want you to see the degree of responsibility that God has put upon Aaron, which he did not seek. And he does not turn away from what God wants him to do. Leviticus 8 and verse 36 says, Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. That's a good example. You got to admit. Because God also gives us responsibilities as Christians. Things I might not think I should have to do. Maybe even some things I don't want to do. But God has appointed them to us. I'm not speaking of those who serve as elders or deacons, but of responsibilities we all have as Christians. We are responsible to live in holiness. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Why I might not be seeking that. That's still what God wants you to do. We have a responsibility to love one another as fellow Christians. We're taught by God to love one another, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. We have the responsibilities to serve one another from Galatians 5 and verse 13, and we're supposed to serve one another through love. We have the responsibility to share the gospel. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 4, those who have been scattered went about preaching the word. We have answered the call of God, just as Aaron did when he came out of Egypt to meet Moses. And just as he did to serve as the high priest, we need to take our responsibilities seriously because we give answer to God. Now, we can't study about lessons from Aaron without looking at the fact that he was not a perfect man. When Moses was on the mountain a long time receiving the law of God, the people came to Aaron in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1 and said, "Come, make us a God who will go before us." And put yourself in that position, or imagine that. What would you have done? Oh, we think we would have been strong. We would have done things differently. But here's the whole nation versus you. He succumbed to the people's pressure. In verse 2 of Exodus 32, he said, "Tear off the gold rings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a golden calf. The people worshipped the golden calf as the God who had brought them out of Egypt. Aaron knew better. He knew the reality that it wasn't the golden calf. We can certainly all agree on that. He knew the truth of speaking with God and seeing the miracles work through his staff. When confronted by Moses when he returned, in verse 22, Aaron first blamed the people, saying, "You know the people yourself that they are prone to evil." And then Aaron told Moses in verse 24, "I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them tear it off. So they gave it to me. I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." Wrong. That's the way you want to remember it, but that's not what happened. Deuteronomy chapter 9 has Moses retelling the events of the golden calf. And in chapter 9 and verse 20 of Deuteronomy, Moses said, "The Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at that same time." Wow. We learned something about how God felt about Aaron. And yet later, God still chose him as the first high priest. Aaron also participated in rebellion in Numbers chapter 12 and in verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?" And the Lord heard it. God then speaks to Aaron and Miriam in Numbers 12 and verse 6, ending with, "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" Miriam was punished by God with leprosy. Aaron was not, but agonized over Miriam's condition and pled to Moses that God would heal her. God heard the prayer of Moses and limited her leprosy to 7 days. In the latter parts of that chapter. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, even Moses, who sinned against God and was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Even Paul, who put Christians to death before he obeyed the gospel. Even Abraham, who did not tell Pharaoh Sarah was his wife, but said, "She is my sister." You and I also, every elder, every deacon, every evangelist, we're all sinners. We have failings and weaknesses. So how are we supposed to live as a Christian with failings and weaknesses? We have to seek forgiveness from our sin. And that only comes from God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 says, "Repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." I need to pray even about the things in my heart that are wrong. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 tells us that Jesus bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. "For by His wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." We may need to return again. James 5 and 19 says, "If any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back," sometimes what we need is help. But what I want us to see in the lesson this morning is that our failure does not have to ultimately end with our being away from God. He is willing to forgive us if we will repent. And we should all pray thanks to God for His willingness to forgive us. We have to keep working hard to do what He says and live in obedience. We have to change our behavior so that we do not sin. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20 says, "Repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance." We have to adopt the attitude that I am His servant. He is my God. Romans 6 and 22 says, "Now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life." There's a reason we serve God, because of the promises He's made. Aaron was a man like everyone else. He failed some. And he worked hard to do right. And he accomplished much good in the last years of his life. Numbers chapter 33 and in verse 38 says, "Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the sons of Israel had come from the land of Egypt." He was 83 when God appointed him. And he died at 123. We know almost nothing about him prior to God's calling. What is revealed is a deep study, worthy of our time, because we can't help but see our own failings in him. And we're forced to examine our own faith. We can also see in Scripture that God confirmed His choice of Aaron as the high priest. The end of Numbers 16 is terrible, along with much of that chapter. After Korah and the rebels at the beginning of the chapter have been swallowed up by the earth in God's judgment, on the very next day, Numbers 16 and verse 41, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people." As if they could open up the ground and swallow those people. No, they didn't want to see what God did. They wanted to blame Moses and Aaron. Now read with me in Numbers chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel and get from them a rod for each father's household.'" This would have been a rod for each of the tribes. Each of the father's households. 12 rods from all the leaders according to their father's households. You shall write each name on his rod and write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. For there is one rod for the head of each of their father's households. You shall then deposit them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I meet with you. It will come about that the rod of the man whom I choose will sprout. Thus I will lessen from upon myself the grumblings of the sons of Israel who are grumbling against you. Moses therefore spoke to the sons of Israel, and all their leaders gave him a rod apiece for each leader according to their father's households, 12 rods, with a rod of Aaron among the rods. And so Moses deposited the rods before the Lord in the tent of testimony. Now on the next day, Moses went in the tent of testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. God confirms his choice of Aaron as the high priest in this way. Despite his failings, God kept his original word that Aaron was the high priest and that his descendants would be the high priests. God was for Aaron. Despite all our failings, God is for the Christian who repents and continues to obey God. Paul writes in Romans 8 and verse 31, "If God be for us, who is against us?" If you're not a Christian who gets comfort from those words, I would have to question if you think God is for you or not. Very encouraging words. I would remind you of a few passages in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Not because I'm perfect or sinless, but because God's chosen to forgive me, because I have a heart that wants to please him, wants to do right. And I repent when I mess up and when I sin." Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 11 tells us, "In Christ we have obtained an inheritance and have been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him," in Christ, "you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." In very similar language, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 that he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. We are God's chosen people, the nation of God. Numbers chapter 20 records for us the death of Aaron. Numbers chapter 20 and in verse 22. The death of Aaron occurs at this time because of his failure with Moses at the waters of Meribah. Numbers 20 and verse 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Aaron failed to do what God told him and Moses to do. And as a result, Aaron did not enter the promised land. This should tell us, if nothing else, God takes sin seriously. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Romans 6 and 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. we need to take sin seriously as well. Psalm 97 in verse 10 says, "Hate evil, you who love the Lord." Proverbs 8 and 13 says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Romans 12 and verse 9 tells us to abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. God tells us what is evil. God tells us what is good. I have to know what God has said about that so I can know how to please Him. We're led into sin by our desires and our heart. We fail to abhor and hate what God says is evil. And so we don't see the putrid rottenness and sin that would defile us and separate us from God. We see something that appeals to us because we blinded our eyes. I have to know what to cling to, especially in times of temptation. In 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 1, John writes, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That verse describes me. How about you? I have an advocate with the Father. We don't have to give up when we see our sin. That's when we have to turn back to God. Seek forgiveness through Christ. 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Oh, what a blessing this is. To be restored to fellowship with God after we have sinned. But we're only going to do that in the first place if we take sin seriously. If we treat it flippantly, we'll never repent. Every one of us is going to be held accountable to God. Aaron was a human like you and me. He did obey God. And he failed God at times. God kept His promise. Aaron wouldn't enter the promised land. But that doesn't mean he was necessarily condemned to hell. The same was promised to Moses, and Moses did not enter the promised land. Yet he appeared alongside Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. Obviously pleasing to God at that point. God keeps His promises, every one of them. God cannot lie, Titus 1 and verse 2. And that gives us great confidence in our salvation. Aaron was a great servant of God, remembered by God in Scripture as the first high priest. We can all be a great servant of God if we will choose to obey Him. As demonstrated in Aaron's life, it is an obedience that is necessary, not just an acknowledgement that God is or that I believe God. Belief is necessary, but belief that does not obey will not please God. In the new covenant in Jesus Christ, we are taught to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We're told of the need to confess Him before men, to repent of our sin, to change our mind about sin and stop sinning, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, Acts 2 and verse 38, Galatians 3 and verse 27. It's then that we become the child of God, a Christian. And that can be you today if you desire to obey God. For those of us who are Christians, I hope like me, you can relate to Aaron. For I too have sinned against God, have repented of sin, and strive to please Him every day of my life. If you know there is sin separating you from God, recognize how God is giving you time to repent. Every day, hour, and minute is a gift from God. The opportunity to change, to seek forgiveness, to turn back to God. Your fellowship with God is again possible, but you must change. You must submit to God's authority in your life. I plead with you to respond to God's invitation to receive forgiveness of sin, entering into fellowship with Him to enjoy the promise of eternal life to those who obey Him. If you need to respond to God's invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing.